chapter 42. That's the last verse of the chapter. So you'll see in Prabhupada's purport of the last verse, he summarizes the whole chapter. If you want to get a quick overview of the Bhagavad Gita, you just read all the purports in the last verse. Cha va bahunoi tena king yatena tavarjuna vishtavyaham idam krishnam ekam shena sito jagat ata va Bahunaitena Bhavatavarjuna Vistabhyaham Idam Krishna Ekam Sena Stito Jagat Ata Bahunaitena Gatena Tavarjuna Vistabhyaham Idam Krishna Ekam Sena Stito Jagat. Alright. Go for anybody know it by heart. Anyway, you have it written down, right? So if somebody chants. Vattavai bahunatena Kim gyatena bhavarjuna Yamidam krishnam Ektam sena sito jagat Vattavai bahunatena Yaham Idam Krishnam Ekam Sena Sitam Jagat Atavai Bahunatena Kim Gyatena Savajuna Vishtap Yaham Idam Krishnam Ekam Sena Stito Jagat. Ladies? Atava Bahanai Sena. Sena Savajuna. Vishtav Yaham Idam Krishnam. Ekam Sena Stito Jagat Atava Bahanai Sena Sena Savarjuna Vishtav Yaham Idam Krishnam Ekam Sena Stito Jagat Atava Four. Bahuna. Many. Ekena. By this kind. King. What? Gyatena. By knowing. Tava. Your. Arjuna. Vishtavya. Pervading. Aham. I. Idam, this, Krishnam, entire, Eka, by one, Amsena, heart, Shita, am situated, Jagat, universe, But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Can you see? But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universe by his entering into all things as the Super Soul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as the Super Soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is maintaining and sustaining them. There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein, because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is asamordva, which means no one is superior to him and no one is equal to him. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist, Ashandi. That's the second offense of the holy name. If, however, one thoroughly understands the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Krishna. And it can be and fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Super Soul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds on Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is why the way of pure devotional service, how one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Sri Baladeva Vidyabhusan, the great Acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes in commentary on this chapter by saying, Yat chaktilesat suryadya bhavant yat yudvatejasa padam shena vritam jishvam sakrishno dasame sate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power, and by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Krishna is worshipable. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the opulences of the Absolute. Om Ajana Timirandasya Ganagana Shalakaya Chaksaru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Guru Shri Chaitanya Manopisam Stavitam Yenabhuta Sayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devita Satitanam Bhavadevyo Vaishnavevyo. Thank you all for coming. When there's more people hearing, then it becomes more potent, more pleasing to Krishna. Gradually, we want audiences of thousands, millions, hearing all over the world. Bhagavad Gita as it is, if this can really help to solve the so-called problems of the world. The problems are summarized in the Bhagavad Gita: birth, death, disease, and old age. The problem makers and the problem describers divide these into the many different divisions. That's the basic problem. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We need to do those things. But those are the struggles. But one should be able to do those things. The animals don't struggle that much to do those things. The human being shouldn't be struggling so much. You should understand that Krishna is providing everything for everyone. And we work for Krishna, whatever we do. This chapter is very important. All chapters are, but Prabhupada stresses that these middle six chapters are the most important. This is what Krishna really starts to talk about himself. So that began with, listen again, O mighty armed Arjuna, because you are my devotee and my friend. For your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge which is better than what has already been explained. Because Bhaktosi me sakacheti, Krishna, here he says it in different language. Because you're my devotee and you're my friend, Krishna speaks to Arjuna. This is the qualification to hear from Krishna. Some academic person, some puffed up Brahmin, is not what Krishna is interested in. He's interested in devotees and friends. He says, neither the demigods nor the sages know my origin, for ever in respect, I am the source of the demigods and the sages. So that Krishna is making clear that even they don't know anything about him, because he has no origin. So to think that the demigods are equal to Krishna, or something better, he who knows me is unborn, beginningless, is the supreme lord of all the worlds. He only, undiluted among men, is free from all sin. And Krishna says that many times. Sujanas, karma chamehidam, evam yogeti tattva tattva deham punagam, one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities and birth and doesn't have to return. So this is what we want to know. Krishna is unborn. He has no origin. He's beginningless. He's the supreme lord of all the world. That person knows Krishna and is free from sin. Then he gives a list of qualities that are important. We can all think about this as text number 4 and 5 and think about it, you know, where we stand. Intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy. All these qualities are created by me alone. And then the purport just explains something, what these things are. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, and not simply to be able to pass some IQ test. The IQ cube test, which I think they still use, was designed specifically for a certain class of people in America, the white, you know, educated people, to prove that they were superior, because they could do better on that test than the people from other cultures and had different education. But it doesn't, now many people don't accept that they have EQ, they call it emotional, or different kinds of IQ that are important in different activities. Someone may be, and everybody's important, but real intelligence means to discriminate and know what is the spiritual and what is material. Material intelligence is, you know, performing things in the material world. Many people think just knowing something is Danny, but that's not real intelligence. Freedom from doubt and illusion can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Chama, this is a very important quality. You may know what chama means in Sanskrit. Is Hindi the same? Chama means forgiveness, and tolerance is the same. In English, maybe we don't put them together, but they're the same. Even in Japanese, it's the same word as for tolerance and patience. So forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Spiritual quality is very, very important, and also for one's own sake. Forgiveness is the power of the Brahmana. The Kshatriya has his strength, his arms, his weapons, his influence. The Vaishya has his money, and the Sudra, I don't know, but the Brahmana's power is in forgiveness. Someone hurts him, but he forgives him. Krishna forgives. Jesus, the last thing he was saying when they were killing him was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't say, Father, you know, why are you doing this? And why don't you kill these people and, you know, get vengeance for me? He said, forgive them. They're crazy. They're stupid. Because the devotee knows if someone is doing something offensive, he'll have to suffer automatically by the laws of nature. So he feels sorry for that. And that's very advanced. Very important. And for one's own sake, if one is vengeful, that's the opposite of forgiveness, vengeance, revenge, right? That's a terrible thing, and the world is full of that kind of mentality. They have to have vengeance because someone from that group killed my grandfather, so I have to kill a few of them. Both sides are thinking that way, and they'll never quit. Take it out on, you know, people that didn't even do it. And then they burn up. Dr. Kirtanraj gave an example, like, I'm mad at you. You hurt me, so I have to get revenge, right? So I get a handful of hot coals, and I'm going to put them on your head. But I have to carry these hot coals around till I can find you and burn up my own hand. That's about all I'll accomplish. So when we keep that mentality of wanting that person who hurt us to suffer, and then we just suffer more. When you forgive, you let it go, and you can carry on with your life. And it takes the wind out of the sails of people that are trying to harass you if you don't get upset about it. Then they don't want to do it anymore because it's no fun. It's only fun when we get disturbed. So that's important, chama. And satyam, truthfulness. Of course, the highest truthfulness, truthfulness is the highest dharma. Real truthfulness means to speak about Krishna all the time, the absolute truth, keep everything like that. Not just mundane truth. That can change sometimes. What's true today is not true tomorrow. What's true in this condition is not true in that condition. What's true for me is not true for you sometimes, relative. But the absolute truth is Krishna, which is true anytime, any place, for any person. So those things are there, and we have to tushti, means satisfaction. A devotee is tushyanti cha, ramanti cha, because he's always talking about Krishna, always thinking of Krishna in association with devotees, and he's tushyanti cha, ramanti cha. He's always satisfied, and he's always blissful. And he says, just to give a little history of the universe, the seven stages. Then we have the four seed verses of the Bhagavad Gita, which contain the whole Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from conversing about me. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. And Tesham Satyadeyukanam Bhajatam Prithipuratam Padami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yinamamukam. The one who's always engaged in devotional service, constantly serving me with love, I give intelligence that he can come to me. So that's what we're striving for. That's the bhakti yoga process. Is to somehow to keep busy in Krishna's service, chanting the holy name, first hearing and chanting. Most we can learn to chant in almost any condition. Render some service to Krishna, serve the devotees, read the Bhagavad Gita, distribute the Bhagavad Gita, take prasadam, offer Bhoga to Krishna, give prasadam. Easy, simple things. Offer some flowers to Krishna. To show special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Those four verses you can study over and over and over and over. It's the seed verses. The Bhagavatam has seed verses too in chapter 2nd canto. Maybe it's chapter 10 also. I think 34, 35. Similar. Arjuna said that. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramangala. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas confirm this, and now you're saying it. Then Arjuna gives us an idea how we should be. I totally accept this truth, all that you've told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons can understand your personality. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency. O Supreme Person, origin of all, Lord of all beings, God of gods, Lord of the universe, tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade these worlds. How shall I constantly think of you? How shall I know you? And in what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? Good questions. Arjuna asked the right questions, and then we should ask those questions also. The deity is Krishna, when we approach Krishna in so many different ways, and we're chanting the holy name, and we're reading Bhagavad Gita, we should be thinking like this. Let Krishna reveal to us his thinking. Then he says, again, please describe in detail the mystic power of these opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. Hearing about Krishna is ever fresh. The stages that Naimisharanya says like that too, right in the beginning. Please tell us. We want to hear. We want to hear again and again and again. We never get tired. Somebody will say, why, how can you just read the same book over and over and try it? It just gets better and better. Krishna tells him, I'll tell you only the prominent things because my opulence is unlimited. So he gives through all these things, and Prabhupada gives these things unto him. People ask him if you've seen Krishna. He said, everyone has seen Krishna. Right? Up so long, and the taste of water, and the light and sun, and the moon, and the sound and ether, the ability of man. Everyone's seen Krishna all the time. You know? When they're admiring these good cricket players, that ability is actually Krishna, but they don't think that. Not that we should watch the cricket game and, oh, and Krishna did it again. But if we do see it, it's a fact that all these wonderful things that people do, Krishna is serving Krishna. So a devotee will see Krishna when they make these amazing, you know, buildings and space shuttles and all the things they do. It's all Krishna. They select, you know, I'm the chief of vibrations, I am Om. And of sacrifices, I am chanting of the holy name. Yajnanam japa japa yajna srimata. That's the jagya, the biggest jagya, chanting the holy name of the Lord. By which chanting, Krishna says that's the best jagya. And of immovable things, he's the Himalaya. I don't think anybody can move that. The biggest, heaviest mountain. And weapons, it's a thunderbolt. Among the demons is Kavad. Among beasts is the lions, the people is powerful. Purifiers is the wind. And of creation, I'm the beginning, the middle, and the end. Majjam, Chai Bajam, Arjuna. I'm the beginning and the middle and the end of all creation. Sciences, Krishna is the spiritual science of the self. That's the highest science. I am all devouring death. Mrityuham sarva adaschaham. Prabhupada said when a devotee is dying, he thinks this comes Krishna. He sees Krishna. Welcome. Problems come, challenges, Krishna. Among women I am fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Those are considered feminine opulences. But a man has those things. A woman has masculine opulences. And the gambling of the chiefs. Among all men, means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. And among those who seek victory, I am morality. Of secret things, I am silence. And of the wise, I am wisdom. I am the generating seed of all existence. No living being can exist without me. Bija, bijam tadaham arjuna. Krishna says that other times also. And then at the end is the verse we read today. Well, yes, last week was, know that all opulent, beautiful, and splendorous creations spring but from the spark of my splendor. So there's so many wonderful things in the, even in this planet, right? And people travel all over to see them, just to see the sunset somewhere, and to see a mountain or a waterfall, and we get, they're wonderful, we get fascinated. Some of the things are so beautiful, we just can't think of anything else. They're so frightening. But it's just nothing compared to Krishna. It's all coming from. What to speak of, we can't imagine what kind of beauty there is in the heavenly planet. And what about the spiritual planet? there's no need to even talk about all these things because it's just with a single fragment of myself I pervade and support the entire universe. So when a devotee sees these wonderful things, he thinks that Krishna created them. If you see some painting, you see if I brought you some painting before I die, I'll bring them online. First thing someone says is, who painted? These wonderful things, we should wonder who made it, right? If somebody draws a beautiful painting of some flowers, you think, oh, that's so nice. What a great artist that is. But if we see the flowers, how many people think, oh, how wonderful Krishna has created these flowers? And they keep creating themselves over and over again, right? And even a picture of them is fascinating. And you can find whole books just with pictures of flowers. Pictures of birds, pictures of insects. When I go in the park in Osaka, the old men are there with these cameras, you know, take pictures of the birds. And they get together, they sit in the park and they look for the birds. Some of them are really into it. They set up this camera, with, you know, just really like this. And they're waiting to get some picture of a bird. Because the bird is far out, it's a wonderful thing. But they don't know that Krishna made that bird. They have no idea. They just think it just happened to be there. But Krishna is much more wonderful, and he's created all things. And no one can ever know the limits of Krishna. The spark of his splendor is pervading, and that's only, this universe is only one small universe. Such things we see when we go around the beautiful mountains and different kinds of animals and trees. Many things they've never heard of, you know, there are other planets. The Earth is doing so many crazy things. In Hawaii, they showed that there's one volcano that's always going. And this molten rock is just flowing down there. And flames are shooting out from it. And then it goes over a cliff and goes into the ocean. And when it hits the ocean, the thing shoots up like a mile in the air. And you can't go within a few miles of it because the stones are flying all over the place. But that's just, you know, one little tiny thing. Sometimes they get out of hand and they have big destructive earthquakes. And nature is so powerful. But Krishna is much, much more. He's created the whole thing. But one should take shelter of Krishna and glorify Krishna. I saw one book yesterday in the Christian bookstore. It said that the hidden power of praising God, the secret prayer that can change everything, the hidden power of praising God. So what are we doing when we're reading Bhagavad Gita, when we're, especially if we're telling other people the glories of the Bhagavad Gita, we're praising God. That's our practice. That's a very important part of Bhakti Yoga. Praise Krishna. Thank Krishna for all the things he's given us. And tell other people, you know, everyone we meet, how great Krishna is. Whatever there is in this world, Krishna is behind it. Right? There's a creator behind everything. There's a maker, a doer. You know, somebody builds a beautiful thing, you want to know who's the architect. And he gives credit. The artist, you know, for designing it, building it. All these wonderful buildings are building. China now, they built so many things for the world. And they glorified all of them. They built them so fast, so big. But Krishna gave them the intelligence. Right? In Lord Indra's assembly house is something like 100 yojanas long. 800 miles. And the assembly house that Yudhisthira had was very big. I don't know exactly, I can't remember how big. But who built that one? Vishwakarma or Mayadana? It was Mayadana. Overnight. Just, you know, Kardama Muni built a, you know, floating palace airplane instantly. Just thought of it and there it was. Now these architects, first they think of something, right? Then they have to draw it out and figure it out, and then they have to get the structural engineer. many different engineers, right, before you can put it together. The artist, the first conception is just, you know, what it's going to look like. Then someone has to figure out how to do it. But these yogis, they could just create instantly. And it would be much something that no one can do now. But to speak of Krishna, with all the universes, and within every universe, and billions of planets, and every planet is somehow or other full of life, and is maintaining so many of the living entities, and not bumping into each other. Right? But still, these people would say that's just by chance. But you show them some machine, you've probably heard this, you know, Sir Isaac Newton. Heard of him? He's counted as one of the most intelligent, I heard when I was in high school, one of the five most important scientists ever, probably still, because nobody's really come along since those days, right? No really significant scientist. But he actually wrote much more about God than he wrote about science. He was very religious, and he understood that everything was coming from God. So one time he made a model of our solar system, you know, with the sun and whatever they think the solar system, the planet's going around. It could crank it or something and it would move. So his friend, atheist friend, came and he said, "Who made it?" He said, "Nobody." And the friend said, no, come on, you tell me who made it." "No, it just happened, nobody made it." And the friend got very angry. "No, somebody made this. Look at how wonderful it is. You know, everything is moving perfectly." And he said, "No, nobody made it." And he finally said, "You say nobody made the entire universe. This is just a little imitation of one little solar system. And you won't believe that it just happened by accident. But you say the whole universe." And the scientists will say, "Well, that's different." But many scientists now are waking up. I have to give a lot of credit to his holiness class to Sri Ramana, who took that. You know, Prabhupada preached very strongly how real science recognizes God and there's no contradiction in it. And he preached that very strongly and had all those, you know, conventions of synthesis. And now you see I see in airport bookshops many books by scientists that are saying how religion and science go together. The newest scientific discoveries are showing that there is God. At least there has to be something. It's because, see, when they first got a microscope, they thought, "Now we know everything." They could see the cell, but all they could see was like a blob of like jelly or something. So they thought that's everything. You know, they couldn't see inside. But now they can see inside and see that one cell is much more complicated than the whole city of Singapore. And it's carrying on and reproducing and doing all those things. So they at least recognize that there's some intelligence, some designer behind all this. It can't happen by accident. And then eventually they'll have to accept that Srimad Bhagavatam has explained everything. Because all the things that they say they can't explain are clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita. The first in the 10 things that science is not able to explain, the first one is mind and body, the relationship between the mind and the body. That's just like basic Bhagavad Gita, right? How can they don't want to, they can't understand. They're starting to realize there's something, so it's become even a medical practice. So Bhagavad Gita is meant to be read by everyone, and heard by everyone, preached by everyone, and practiced, followed by everyone. Then whoever does that can live comfortably in this world, knowing that he's progressing towards, you know, going back to Krishna, leaving, you know, we have to leave this world at some point. But it's not a tragic thing. So we just utilize this life as much as possible in the service of Krishna, our home, our family, our work, our, whatever we have, use it for Krishna. Whatever he's given you, use it for him, because he gave it. Don't worry that he didn't give it. Ram Krishna Idam Namaha. And you can say Idam Gurudevaya Idam Chaitanyaya. But it's not for. And, but when you do it for Krishna, you cannot stop Krishna from giving you back much more than you gave him. Even if you're so advanced that you don't want anything, you can't stop Krishna from giving you more. The gopis do not want anything from Krishna. But he gives them millions of times more than they give him with pleasure in the terms of Krishna. That's just natural. That's the nature of Krishna. He's so nice. Whatever you do for Krishna, he will never forget, and he will always be thinking how I can do something for this devotee. And if you happen to make some offense to Krishna or do something wrong, he doesn't care. He forget about it. He sees the good. We want to become like that also. Be like that as we live in this world. Look for the good, try to help everybody, to use whatever they have for Krishna, whatever they have on for Krishna, and be happy with it. Don't be unhappy with what you don't have or what you have around you. Just offer it all to Krishna. And then it's perfect. So we have any questions or comments? What time are we supposed to stop? Huh? It's not too bad, 40 minutes. Huh? Including the chanting this mantra. Time for kirtan. We have another Rathi after next week. Talking about Swami Ki Jai. Yeah? I have a wireless microphone. Question microphone. Yeah, I don't know if I have enough. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Om.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
This is actually, this is just my curiosity that I just wanted to know, because in Mayapur we saw devotees when they are doing kirtan, then they fall on the ground and then they start rolling on the ground. So Prabhupada, I never saw Prabhupada doing this or never said anything. I'm just confused about this.
Once in a while we do that. not everywhere, even if you feel like it, but in Mayapur, in the dust of Mayapur, they're not trying to imitate ecstatic symptoms, they're just trying to get the mercy of the dust of the little dog. So a few, one place basically in the park, right? Kind of like a ritual. But the scripture says, mate, you should, you know, when a Kaurava saw the footprints of Krishna, he rolled on the ground. But we don't want to, you know, make a show of imitation. But they're not doing that, but when the devotee is trying to get the dust covered with the dust of the holy ground. The shirt says, Om. The first yoga teacher I went to, he taught us to chant two different ways. Om. He told us to chant Shivoham. Shivoham, Shivoham. But he gave us a book that said Om was the topmost. So I chanted Om. I thought, why should I? Then I finally found Hare Krishna. It was also Om, but much more effective in this day and age. It's much easier to do. Hare Krishna you can chant again and again and again. You need to. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Okay, any other questions?
Just to confirm that Mayapur, of course, I saw this thing, but Singapore can be okay.
No, we don't think the dust here is so holy. If you behind it, but can I get the dust in it? But, you know, it won't go over very big with the public.
Even there they told us not to do it.
Yeah, not so much. But on the Parikram and the one place. Yeah. That's the way proper to keep cool, because we don't want to get too crazy.
Thank you, Brother.
But to get the dust of the Holy Ghost, good. You can just take down it by the way. At home you can roll around. Good for your health. And I went to one therapist, and he had one of the therapies he prescribed was when you wake up in the morning to just roll around. You know. It's very good for your body. Rolling around back and forth across the whole room. But he wasn't talking about an ecstatic symbol exercise. So we do it privately. Okay, any more questions? So everyone is seeing Krishna, right? Ratoham apsukunteya prabhasmi sasi suraya. Pranavak sarvavedeshu shabdike purusham. Right? The taste in water. That's Krishna, that pure taste. Any one time Prabhupada said liquid. And he said that even the wino, if in America we on the morning walk you see these drunken men, they just live by wine. He said even if they were thinking every time they drink the wine that this taste is Krishna, he said, then they will become saintly people. It takes a long time, but if they really, every time, they, oh, Krishna. So the taste in water, rasoham apsu konteya, prabhasmi, sasi suraya, the light and the sun and the moon. The two eyes of the universe, the form of the sun and the moon. So the devotees see like that. And Pranavak sarvavedeshu, the, you know, the Om mantra, the prana, and then shabdike, the sound in ether, any sound, and the ability in man. One time we went to try to distribute books inside one concert in America, the Deep Purple. Heard of them? I had never heard them, I'd say a little bit, but so we couldn't get in with books, they caught us, so we got an incense, and we were selling incense. And I saw that they came to Bombay a few years ago, and the signboard said, World's Loudest Band. It said, screeching solos, crashing this, brain damage possible, earplugs recommended. So I was in there, and it was so loud. And all I just kept thinking over and over again, the sound and ether, the ability of man. The devotee went with me because he left. But the people like that kind of madness. You know, they like to overwhelm their senses completely because their mind is so disturbed that they need those kind of like really loud and those huge movies with sound all around you. So that they can forget everything. But we want to hear the holy name very clearly, have nice music which is soothing and enlivening, and promotes the holy name into the heart of anyone who hears it. Right? That's the best way to absorb all the senses and look at the beauty of Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Thank you.